Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is Football Social Daily, the Premier League podcast.
Welcome to Football Social Daily, your award-winning Premier League podcast. We've been without it for the last couple of weeks, but finally this weekend the Premier League is back. And boy, is it back with a bang. A defining game in the title race this season as Arsenal take on Manchester City, but this is by no means a two-horse race. So what will happen? Will this be the game that decides the Premier League title this season? We don't know the answer to that, but what we do know is it's going to be exciting. Welcome to Football Social Daily. My name's Niall, and alongside me for this one, Joel Tudor. Because Joel Marley is on daddy duties today.
He's in the latter stages of paternity leave, just like we're in the latter stages of the season. So you know what? We're going to excuse him for today because he's nothing to talk about Newcastle-wise. So do we need him anyway?
Firing shots.
He's not here to defend himself.
Will talk about Liverpool as well on today's show because Roberto De Zerbi is one of those managers allegedly in the frame for the Liverpool job. And he takes his Brighton side to Liverpool this weekend as well. But Joel, let's get started with the big one. Arsenal against Manchester City.
Tantalising.
It's exciting, isn't it? What a way to come back from the international break with a fixture like that.
It's huge. And I'm also wondering which team's actually benefiting from the international break because we've seen the likes of Saka pull out just before it, John Stones go off injured, Kyle Walker go off injured. I don't know if they're feigning injury to try and get ready for that game because in their back of their minds, 100% they'll be thinking to themselves, I need to be ready for that. I don't think that there was any kind of malice in thinking, I'm just going to pull up a little bit in the 10th minute and get myself a nice 80-minute break. I don't feel like there would be that kind of prejudice behind it. But I know we talked about this fixture at the start of the international break and thinking, is this pivotal for Manchester City? Because obviously Arsenal lead the way, City are 1 point behind them. If Arsenal win, 4 points ahead. At that stage, 4 points is... For a Manchester City side, it's nothing. I feel like you need to have them completely dead before you can officially say Manchester City are out of it. If we go back to last season when them two matched up, I think it was the 4-1 win when City absolutely put their stamp on the title race to say, you guys think you're in the title race?
I thought that was an anti-climax. I'm not going to lie. I thought that the Arsenal City game was going to be the title deciding game last season, and it was, but it wasn't really a contest. And they can't afford to do that this time against Manchester City.
A lot of differences this time round, though, because I think with Arsenal last season, I've said it all throughout this season, is that Arsenal feel like they have a bit of a backbone. And we saw it in the way they've absolutely dismantled teams in the last, three or four weeks now. 30-something goals in seven games, which is that's like a three-quarters of what Man United have scored this season. That's scary thought.
I'm not sure what to make of that stat.
Same, so am I.
I don't know whether that's a positive for Arsenal or a negative for you.
Exactly.
Probably both.
It's horrible for me to say that. But I think the big difference, which will come on to Declan Rice, they have someone who's now that pivotal part of that spine. Well, you know, without them, you notice it in their team. Whenever Manchester City haven't had Rodri, they've suffered massively. When they have him, they're so successful. Similarly with Arsenal. And I'm just thinking, is this going to be a different kind of game? Because like you mentioned last season, it was like men against boys. Mm. When Arsenal felt like they were going for the title, it was like, okay, now fight the final boss like in Tekken. And then you realize, oh my God, I'm not at that level to actually compete. But now do we think Arsenal are more equipped compared to that stage of last season when they went to the Etihad and they got absolutely blown away?
I think you'd have to say yes, they are better equipped because they've got a year's more experience. We mentioned last season how those young players that Arsenal had maybe weren't able to bounce back from the big defeats in a title race. I can think distinctively of two or three games. I think there was one against Southampton who eventually got relegated. They should have won and they didn't.
Yep.
I think were they two goals up against West Ham? They were two goals up against Liverpool, I think, at Anfield as well. And they didn't get the result on that occasion. I feel like they've learned from those experiences because last season, when Arsenal had been defeated, they went on to lose two or three games in a row. So they've had these experiences where they've been second best. Now it's about those players turning that into becoming Premier League champions. And I think they'll be better for it. Whether that means they'll win a one-off game against Manchester City this weekend, I don't know. Are they good enough to beat Manchester City in 90 minutes? Absolutely. Will they do it? That's another question. But that's what keeps us all excited.
Are we jumping the gun too soon though? Because like you say, they look different this season compared to last season. I think objectively everyone can see that. However, we still don't know how they're going to react when push comes to shove. Five games in, they're all level on points or one or two points in between. Have they got the cojones to say, right, this is the point where we push on rather than this is the point where we start to recede and we start to
shrink? It's up to them to show it. They have to show
it. This is where they started, though. This is the game. They have to prove it. I think they have to make a mark in this kind of game.
But there have been games this season, Joel. I'm thinking the Chelsea game. Arsenal were two goals behind against Chelsea and they came back to get the result, didn't they? And yet last season, I didn't feel like that about Arsenal. I just felt like they were going to break, like they had fissures in the team where they could just fall apart and something would go wrong. I feel like that they've glued those cracks together this season. I really do.
So far, that is the operative thing we're going with here, because let's not forget, they've got the slight side distraction of the Champions League against their arch nemesis. I mean, is it really a nemesis if you're getting kicked by them? It's like their daddy, you know what I mean? Like they belong to Bayern in the last 10 years. And I said, you'll recall me saying this, they should be getting to a minimum of the semi-finals of the Champions League this season. They have the squad to do it. I know Arsenal fans last season put it down to the fact that William Saliba was injured in the latter stages. Okay then, he's fit right now.
So I find that interesting because you said you think that that squad should reach the semi-finals of the Champions League as a minimum. They've got Bayern Munich, a hell of a European club to come up against. And we all know the record that Arsenal have had against Bayern recently. Yet, you're not sure whether they'll be able to beat Manchester City at the weekend. Why is that? Why do you think that this squad should achieve Champions League semi-finals as a minimum, but yet you're not 100% convinced yet that they've got the balls to go on and win the Premier League?
Because they've not shown it yet. Okay, let's give them credit. Last season was the first time we saw Arsenal become a credible side, and they didn't show it in the latter stages. It's great to have a three quarters of a great season, but the last quarter makes you champions or chumps. That's the fact of it. So let's see how it is, because honestly, these games now, this is what makes a title win inside. When you've got cracks and injuries in your squad, like William Saliba, are Arsenal fans forgetting that title winning teams in the previous years, they've had vital players go missing in the last weeks of a season. Someone else has stepped up. You look at that Man United treble winning 99 side. We had four strikers who filled in and won us those three titles. You know, Sheringham was in there for the FA Cup final, scored. Paul Scholes, and then you had Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in the final.
Scholes didn't play up front, did he? Am I missing something?
He scored though. No, I mean like as in the people were chipping in.
Oh,
I see.
You said four strikers and I was like, am I missing something here?
It's only because I remembered the FA Cup. It's only because I remembered him scoring in the FA Cup finals. I was like, Scholes, why has he come to my mind? But different players need to fill in different areas of the season. And like I say, they should have the ambition this season to potentially think we could do a double. We have the squad to do a double. There's no reason why they cannot do that. And although this game, regardless of the result, I don't think it dictates what's going to happen at all, because there's still another 9 games to go after that. How much can change in 9 games? I've seen it with my own team, how you can capitulate within 4 games and what feels like the title's in your hands just goes down into sand. So I don't think it's a vital part, but I do think at this stage it would be bigger of a result for Arsenal than it would be for Manchester City at this stage, I think.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the award-winning Premier League podcast, Football Social Daily, and Manchester City Football Club have been winning all of the awards over the last few years, much to Joel Tudor's dismay as a Manchester United fan.
Switch the camera. Get it back on you. I don't want to talk about it.
Man City, the treble winners last season, Premier League, FA Cup, Champions League. But this time around, the Premier League looks like it might be a tougher ask for them to win because they've got challenges in the form of Liverpool in Jurgen Klopp's final season and Arsenal. And it's Arsenal against Manchester City at the weekend. We've spoken about Arsenal and their credentials and how they may be better this season. Is this a good time for Arsenal to be playing Manchester City? Because if we look at things from a City perspective, Kyle Walker didn't play for England. John Stones came off after 10 minutes in one of those Three Lions games. Are City a wounded animal that Arsenal need to be wary of? Or are they weak and Arsenal need to take advantage of that?
It's a lot of smoke and mirrors at the moment after this international break. I don't quite know what to believe because I know we've mentioned the likes of John Stones, Kyle Walker going off injured. Bukayo Saka didn't even take part. He backed out quite early. Gary Neville actually called that. He said, I will be convinced that Saka or, you know, one of the big players from either side will back out of it quite
early. Ben White decided he didn't want to play for England over the last two games, which is another story in itself.
Oh, the conspiracies.
But that being said, he will be fit and he will be available to play for Arsenal in a huge game against Manchester City because he didn't play in two, let's face it, meaningless England friendlies. Manchester City fans have seen John Stones go off after 10 minutes. Now, we don't know how serious that injury is, but let's face it, he then becomes a doubt.
As we've come to know with Manchester City in the last few years is that rule them out at your peril when it comes to this stage of the season, because regardless of the personnel they have available, they still have a very rich squad depth of players who will come in and make their mark. I mean, you even look at Oscar Bob.
I just thought you were on about a random guy called Bob. I was like, what?
It's not the kit man. It's the guy, the decent player, the Norwegian kid. He's good.
Yes, Oscar Bob. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Oscar Bob. And, you know, these are the types of moments that kind of are made for players like him to come in and try and make his mark. But like I say, I think Arsenal probably feel more equipped just because of how deadly and dangerous and prolific they've been in the last few games. But Manchester City at home are a formidable side, and especially when they have Rodri. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that Rodri versus Rice battle going into this, because obviously in the summertime, Manchester City were interested in Rice. Apparently didn't have the funds to afford him. Don't know how much I believe about that. But I love the quote that Guardiola used to describe Rodri, which is, he's his lighthouse. And I think that's such a great metaphor because literally he's the highest completed passer in the Premier League. He literally has to have his head on a pivot, watching the ship's dock, make sure nobody crashes, make sure everything's under control.
He's really tall and lives on a rock.
He doesn't move anywhere, just sits in that middle bit and just watches this sea go by him. City are better with him than without him. And I think when they have him in the team,
stats prove it.
The stats prove that they are a better side with him, alongside Rice being with Arsenal. So I think it's going to be a really good midfield battle, which I'm looking forward to in that game. God, I'm glad I'm not a betting man because this is a really close season, isn't it?
So what position would you rather be in? Would you rather be an Arsenal fan? No. Heading into this weekend. I don't mean generally. Heading into this weekend. Well, then again, your other options are Liverpool or Manchester City.
And no.
So I think you'd rather be an Arsenal fan, actually, thinking back.
Don't put me in that position, no.
The point I'm trying to get at is, would you rather be an Arsenal fan in this title race right now
top of the table, you are in control of that title race? Or would you rather be a Manchester City fan, knowing that Arsenal maybe have history of not quite feeling comfortable in that position, and yet you've got the experience and know-how of previous title races to really crank up the heat when it counts in a big game like this weekend, and then shoot them down, chase them? So what would you rather be? Arsenal top of the pile, Manchester City, knowing that you can breathe down their necks and really apply that pressure?
It reminds me of a 2000 meter race, you know, where you've got the favorite and he's just languishing behind, keeping touching distance. And then he decides when the final one lap ringer goes, okay, now it's time to make my move. And sometimes they do it too soon and then they expend their energy and then the forward guy ends up going on and winning the race. This is what it feels like to me, is who's going to blink first in this kind of situation. Because this is what I mean, I don't see it as a defining one, because Arsenal still need to go to Old Trafford, still need to play Spurs. These games are going to be difficult as well, probably as difficult as this City game. They're not. This is not a defining moment for them, I don't think, for Arsenal to make a statement now and also to give themselves that self-belief, I think. I think this is the biggest part. To go away to Manchester City, which I don't think they've won since Arsene Wenger was there with Mesut Ozil in, 2014, I recall. They need to do that again against an even better Manchester City side. If they can do that, honestly, I feel like they will feel invincible going to the end of the season. They need to channel that. They need to channel their mentality, I believe, honestly, because City feel sometimes a little bit invincible at this stage.
Well, we'll find out this weekend who does get the upper hand in this Premier League title race. It might even be a draw, which would probably suit Liverpool better than anyone else. And Liverpool take on Brighton this weekend in Jurgen Klopp's final season as the Liverpool manager. So the question has been going around, who's going to replace him? Is Roberto De Zerbi in with a shout? He's done a great job at Brighton. We'll discuss it next on Football Social Daily. Final part of today's FSD. This is the award-winning Premier League podcast, Football Social Daily. Hit subscribe or follow, that way you'll never miss another episode of the podcast again. You can also get in touch with us via social media. All of the links are in the description. Now on FSD, we're going to discuss Roberto De Zerbi taking on a team which some people are tipping him to be the new manager of. It's going to be a big job for whoever decides to step up and replace him. It's one of those jobs in world football, the Liverpool job, you don't really say no to. Even though he's got a nice little project going on there at Brighton, and even though he might not want to take on the mantle and the pressure of replacing Jurgen Klopp, it's almost one of those jobs he can't really say no if he was the one that was chosen.
Yeah, and I think it's even more difficult to take over the Liverpool job now compared to when Jurgen Klopp took over it. Let's not forget when he took over from, was it Brendan Rodgers at the time? They were just on the back of a pretty difficult end to that season and just after a title run the season before, and things just didn't look as rosy as they were. I mean, if you look at Jurgen Klopp's starting 11 when he began, like Adam Lallana, Skrtel, I think Jordan Ibe was in there, Divock Origi. I mean, this is a complete whirlwind away from what it was originally. And for De Zerbi to come in now, having Jurgen Klopp won a European trophy, the Premier League, the FA Cup, the League Cup twice, it's a different kind of expectation and pressure, because they're going to want to maintain this position now. The only issue I have with De Zerbi and just from Brighton in general is that whenever you take something out of Brighton, it is never the same. And I'm talking about football here. I don't even know what else. Maybe if you take a seagull out of it, he might start.
Fat Boy Slim did all right for himself.
Yeah, that's an outlier. But whenever you take a player or a manager out of Brighton, this new look, newly industrialized kind of Brighton, it never seems to reach the heights. I mean, you look at Graham Potter at Chelsea, and to be fair, Chelsea, I mean, right now, I don't really know what manager could handle what was going on there.
I see your point, but basically, you could just say, put them in Chelsea and things won't go well, because the examples you've got are Graham Potter, Cucurella, and Moises Caicedo. Those are the three examples you're thinking of.
Yeah, Trossard's done not too bad at Arsenal, but I mean, they've never been as impressive as when I've seen them there. Maybe it is because of that Chelsea factor potentially, but De Zerbi has done what he can with a club that has not as much expectation, nowhere near as much as Liverpool. But when you look at De Zerbi's statistics, you know, possession of his Brighton side, second in the league, 63%, completed passes, 32,000, second in the league. You can see the mold that Liverpool want to fit around. He is almost the perfect kind of philosophy for what they're going to want after Jurgen Klopp. High pressing, man-to-man pressing, triangles all over the pitch, whatever you name it, he does it. it's just after losing a manager who's had such a grip of a team. We've seen it with Arsene Wenger. We saw it with Sir Alex Ferguson. When you lose that statesman figure of a club, the next man has got the biggest shoes to fill, because not only has he got to fulfill the expectation, he's also got to win over the fans. And he's also got to continue building a new squad. Mo Salah might leave. Virgil van Dijk might leave. Trent Alexander-Arnold's out of contract in a year or so. They might look at this time as kind of a moment to move on. And then suddenly he'll be looking at the squad thinking, wow, we have got a rebuild to do now rather than a continuation of what Jurgen Klopp's already done.
How important is it that Jurgen Klopp does just entirely step away?
Do you want to talk about the comparison?
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Sir Alex Ferguson. And we're almost, I think we are 10 years on from the famous Andy Tate viral clip where he goes,
"You are nothing. Yep, you are a fool.
You got the job on a technicality." I've lived here 6 years. I still can't do the Manc accent. David Moyes is still managing in the Premier League now, but he was recommended by Sir Alex Ferguson to be the next manager of Manchester United. How important is it that when Jurgen Klopp leaves Anfield at the end of this season, that Liverpool don't make the same mistake? And actually, it's a clean cut. They sever ties with Jurgen Klopp. Obviously, he'll still be a legend around the club. Manchester United have kept Sir Alex Ferguson around the building. Still has a big say and a big influence on that football club. Is it important that Liverpool don't do that with Jurgen Klopp?
100% that. You mentioned recommendation. I don't even think it was a recommendation when Alex Ferguson suggested Moyes. It was a decision. I think he got together with Ed Woodward and said he has to be in charge. And they were too scared to
overrule.
Yeah, exactly, because he is literally Manchester United. Whereas in this situation, you've got Liverpool who have got the right tools in place to move on from Klopp in terms of the right know-how above him. And there's a story that I always remember when Jurgen Klopp wanted Julian Brandt as his next winger. This was before Mo Salah came in. And I think it was Michael Edwards suggested Mo Salah. And he managed to overrule Jurgen Klopp and say, Mo Salah is the guy that we need. He's the right profile for this team. Can you imagine Liverpool's history if they didn't sign Mo Salah? This is why I think in football, you just have to trust the people who have an overarching perspective. I think for Jurgen Klopp, he's not done the analysis. He's not done the trips around Europe, speaking to people who know these guys, what their personalities are like, what their characters are like, what are they like around the training ground? Do they know different languages? With all due respect to Jurgen Klopp, I'm sure he has an incredible knowledge of world football and all these managers, but probably not to the extent that the guys above him do. This is their job. Their job is to go and recruit. Jurgen Klopp's job is to manage a football club and a football team, which he does incredibly well. And I think that's what the issue at Manchester United was. They were forgetting that as incredible of a coach Sir Alex Ferguson was, he's not a recruiter and he didn't know what was right for Man United to go onwards. He knew what was right for him. And I think football clubs are probably using that as a case study. I don't know how much of an influence Arsene Wenger had in Unai Emery. I'm not quite sure, but regardless.
I don't know. But he's trying to change the rules now, isn't he? Football, Arsene Wenger. Make everything different.
Probably a good thing they got him out while they did and keep him well away.
He's desperate to keep hold of that Invincibles tag, isn't he? 100%. We'll change the game. We'll make the rules different. De Zerbi then. Is De Zerbi deserving of a shot at the Liverpool job? What do you think? Would they be better off going with Xabi Alonso? I hate to use the term poison chalice, but I wouldn't want to be the person who replaces Jurgen Klopp. But then again, it's the same thing as what we said earlier. It's one of those jobs in world football, the Liverpool job. You just can't turn that down. If Liverpool come knocking and say, we want you to be our next manager, you say yes.
Unless you're Xabi Alonso.
You think he would reject Liverpool?
For Bayern, yes. 100%. The only reason I say that is because he's 36. He can go on for as long as he wants to go on. It's not like he has to take this job now. It's not like he's 55 and this could be the final big job of his career. He's starting out. Like, this is a great, great first start at Leverkusen, done incredible. But he could very easily do 2-3 years at Bayern, like what Pep Guardiola did after Barcelona. Have a great few seasons there, maybe win a Champions League, but probably win the Bundesliga 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
And then go to Liverpool. Because like you say, De Zerbi might go to Liverpool now and have an absolute disaster of the first couple of years while Xabi Alonso progresses even more at Bayern. And then suddenly it's a marriage made in heaven. Then,
it's true. It's true. And also you skip that point of being the next,
the next
person thing, after Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, but it's fun to debate. Why would you take our fun away from us?
It is fun to debate. It is fun to debate. And that's what we like to do here on Football Social Daily. And if you've got something that you want us to talk about, then get in touch with us via the social media channels. Links are in the description. Link to the free to join Telegram group is there as well. So give that a click, download the app and come and join the conversation. Let us know what you think. Do you think it should be Xabi Alonso or Roberto De Zerbi or someone completely different to replace Jurgen Klopp as the next Liverpool manager? Well, we'll be back on Tuesday for another episode of Football Social Daily because, of course, it is Easter weekend here in the UK, which means we get a couple of extra days off, Joel. But we'll be watching the Premier League action unfold, won't we?
Big weekend of games and got Easter eggs lined up yet?
I don't have any Easter eggs lined up. No, big question is though, what Easter egg have you got?
Malteser.
Poor choice.
The chocolate quality of Malteser
that
is ridiculous.
So, I'm disappointed with
oh,
that.
What would you choose then?
Got to be something Dairy Milk. 100%. Anything Mars chocolate or Galaxy or anything like that. Waste of time.
Okay, so I got don't an equalizer. Waste my time. I got an equalizer though. I got a big block, which is a mini eggs Dairy Milk.
Now we're talking. That is serious, that, no. Serious merchandise that.
It goes from creamy to crunch. ASMR, FSD ASMR, we're branching off.
All right, that will do us for today's Football Social Daily. Enjoy your Easter weekend, whatever you're up to, and we'll catch you, whatever you're up to, and we'll catch you again on Tuesday's podcast. See you then.
Football Social Daily is a Voice Work sport production for the Sport Social Podcast Network.